Dennis Felger here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. You are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour number two of a Big Boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, alongside Felger and Mass. Mass and Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Greg and I are on location. Continue with your football calls for the big fella, Jacob in New Hampshire. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, I have a quick little theory on Stidham and why he didn't play his last couple weeks. Like, before the season, it seemed like he was the guy going into the season. Then Cam comes in, we're like, okay, what the heck? It looks like a Stidham story. And then after training camp, I think Greg had an article saying that the team was disappointed on how he his competitiveness and how he didn't go and get the job. I wonder if that continued throughout the year, and meaning that Bill didn't want to give him a free start to end the year just because Cam Newton wasn't playing well. I wonder what you think.
Greg, what's your theory on why Stidham never got a sniff?
He's not good. I mean, it started with Cam. I mean, because he did have an opportunity. It was a competition to start camp, whether, you know, whatever people want to believe. If Stidham went out there and lit up the practice fields at Gillette, then he would have been the starter, because it would have been obvious to us in the stands. It would have been obvious to the players, and if Cam struggled, but that didn't happen. He threw the ball better than anybody. He got off to a rough start, and then there was the quote unquote injury that he needed an MRI for, where he really just missed a couple days. It looked like he was a little sore, and then he was out there. And then after that, he just sort of, you know, kind of took it and just was like, okay, here you go, Cam. Like, you know, and I think people within the team were surprised about that. And I think it told them a lot. Okay. And then he never did anything to really change that thinking.
Well, so I was asking, how does that explain week 15, 16, you know, at the end there?
I mean, you know, there are guys that practice with a purpose, that are out there trying to win something every day. There are guys who do not do that.
Greg, do you think
Stidham is in the latter camp?
Do you think he gets another chance, or is he done?
I think he's back for camp, but anything beyond that, we're going to have to see.
So, I mean, I think that Bill Belichick promised Cam Newton the starting job and followed through on it. But if that Jared Stidham had shown him anything, Bill would have broken his promise, as coaches do all the time. All the time, coaches are, and I don't blame them for it. They're just about winning, you know. But, you know, they'll whore themselves out, and they will break a promise, and they'll, you know, Belichick promised Drew Bledsoe the job back in 2001, and then Brady started winning games, and Bill went back on it, as we all, you know, wanted him to. And so Bill would have absolutely done that to Cam Newton, too, if Jared Stidham had shown him a sniff. And so it's twofold. One is, Cam took his lousy contract, played by the rules, and Bill said, you take care of me, I'll take care of you. But Bill would have thrown him right under the bus if Jared Stidham had shown anything, and Bill believed in him in any way, shape, or form. There was an emailer sent me this Instagram from Kennedy Stidham. You know, that's Penelope, his wife.
I saw this too. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it's, a picture of Jared Stidham at the end of the year, and a little message from her says, so proud of you always, and everything you've overcome to get to where you are, and the silent battles you've faced all season.
Aww.
With humility, poise, and confidence. By 2020 season, ready for what's to come. Hashtag or whatever, /, God is always good. But again, proud of you always, and everything you've overcome to get to where you are, and the silent battles you've faced all season with humility, poise, and confidence. Now, she's not saying he had problems with humility, poise, and confidence. She's saying
he had it.
He faced the battles with those items. Now, right. What battles do you think she's talking about?
Go ahead, Greg.
No, go ahead. I have no idea.
Bill!
Doubts from the coach, and that the coach gave up on him after, you know, pumping him up here, going back to last offseason, where we've never seen a rookie quarterback look this good in camp, and he wins the backup job to Brady, and then for whatever reason, he blew it.
Yeah, the same battles that Brady faced with humility, poise, and confidence. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if one of them called the other. Stidham called Brady and says, hey, Tom, it's Jarrett. Yeah. Boy, he's a dick, huh?
Bob in Pembroke, you're up next with Felger, Maz, and Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, when I heard what Belichick might be making, it kind of led me to do a little research. And my mind, when I looked at the NFL teams, 28 out of 30 teams have a separate defensive coordinator, if I'm accurate in my research, and that's the Titans and the Pats. So therefore, Bill is the GM, he's the coach,
Bob.
And it says on the website, he's the de facto defensive coordinator. Now, is this to save money?
Yep.
Or is this a ploy to get his son, Steven, to be the future defensive coordinator?
I think it's both, Bob. I mean, he's done that with people not just – and thank you for the call, Bob. He's done this with everyone. Flores didn't have the title. You know, this has happened a lot over the years. But I think this is another reason why. This is another reason why I can't pay you like a defensive coordinator, so I'm not going to insult you with the title or something. It has to be tied in somewhere. You can't make that kind of might be, you know, that, you know, the highest paid by that degree, by that percentage, and have it not be something of a factor with how you pay your staff, how you title your staff, and the players and the money on your roster, Maz. It has to be related.
Oh, there's no question it is. Again, and I'll tell you what, if you want to tell me, because I do believe in that the football department runs on a budget. I'm with Bedard on that one. But let's just say that there's actually a separate budget for the coaching staff and the roster. Let's just say there is. Even then, it's a bad move. Because, again, now you're cutting in all these other places where we all know the problems that exist inside the organization when they exist in terms of pushback, veteran voices, people Bill would respect. There just aren't enough of those, no matter how you slice it. There's no way that him taking that much money can be a good thing.
Well, I mean, he might be worth it.
At a time like this.
Well, I'm just saying there's a cause and effect, people. There's the crafts nor any business have an endless budget. So there is a budget. Forget the cap. It's the real money budget. And if you pay X to your coach, it's going to affect what the players are paid and certainly the other assistants are paid. And if that impacts how they're titled, whether they're coordinators or not, I think there's absolutely something to it. Now, you can say Bill's worth it. He's not worth it. Just don't tell me it's not related. Because now you're in this fantasy land that don't have a budget, which would make them the only private business owners in the history of the planet not to. Adam and Lowell. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hey, Greg. I'd like to believe that, you know, Bill's kind of seen the error of his ways and he can't do it the way he wants. But that would be Bill admitting he made a mistake, which is just as impossible. I mean, he didn't even make it through half the season of criticism before he went on a little hissy fit on that podcast with Charlie Weiss. And on top of that, as much as I want him to draft better, I know exactly what's going to happen this draft. He's a ton of talent players going to be on the board, all the Alabama wide receivers, Kyle Pitts out of Florida. He's going to trade back, take a safety, a guard, a safety again, and then won't take a skill player until the fifth round and after. I can't wait till he's gone so we can actually draft guys with talent. Thanks.
We can't wait for Bill to be gone. That's getting a little silly, don't you think, Maz?
Well, look, I'll tell you what. I don't have a problem if he drafts in areas that he's typically been good at. I don't want him to take a receiver in the first round. Given his history, I'd rather him go out and get a receiver in free agency. And if you got to draft a defensive tackle and a linebacker or whatever, and those are the positions you're targeting, I'm fine with that. Greg, their needs are so great that I want Bill to take high percentage picks, if that makes sense. Because they got to hit. They have to hit. And if he has
the
a better...
Horses thing. What was that? Horses over what?
Horses over ponies.
There you go.
Yeah. Horses over horses' asses, too. We could do that one. But horses.
Yeah.
So you got to hit. And if he's better at drafting guys in the front seven on defense or, you know, linemen on offense or whatever, I'm okay with that. Just hit. You've got to hit.
On what Adam was talking about, Belichick is never publicly going to admit he was wrong about anything. So, yeah, I don't expect that to happen. I don't even think internally he'll just say, you know, we're bad at this. He's not going to say how it happened or whatnot. But, you know, look, I think, you know, I want Bill here. I mean, I have no illusions. He just needs to recenter himself, maybe surround himself with some different people. It's very possible that Elliot Wolf, who I think, you know, he's an assistant personnel person here now, used to be with the Packers. I think he's in the mix with the Lions GM job. But there's some hope around the team that he and some other people are going to have a stronger influence when it comes to the draft.
So you think Casario's gone?
I don't know. I don't. I don't. It depends what kind of role. I think, you know, he would possibly go someplace where he's under a strong GM. I don't know. And I don't know how the Texans are going to align, who they're going to give power to. But I could not see Nick Casario leaving to be sort of a strong GM type where he's hiring the coach and everything's on his head. I have a hard time seeing that.
You're saying he does not want to be that?
I have doubts on whether he wants to be that or whether that's the right thing for him.
Why would he not want to be that? Why would he not want to run his own team if he has the opportunity?
Some guys are better at being number two, like, you know, Tony Maz over there and
ooh,
and things like that.
I find that a little unnecessary.
No, that's all right. I'm okay with that.
Well, he doesn't poke at me all the time when I'm even not there. So, you know, I got to give it back.
Well, you get a little more protection in the poking.
Okay, yeah. More poking coming your way. 10 questions right after this.
Dugger Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You answer. You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes with the big boy. We got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options?
Bobby Dalbec is a great prospect, not a good prospect. This guy has got Mike Schmidt power.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
More coming up on this later on the program. Go ahead. Oh, that would knock me in the gut. That is a big-ass number. That's what I've heard Bill Belichick, $25 million a year. That was my reaction. Next.
What is that? Another one of your anonymous reports?
No, it's Adam Schefter. Bill, next.
Yeah, I don't know what they said.
Next.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Adam said.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You should talk to Adam about that then.
Okay, we will. Okay, that's it. Hit whatever one you want.
You should talk to Adam about that then.
Okay, we will. Number 10, Greg Bedard. Why do you hate the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, why, Greg?
Yeah, I do not hate the Buffalo Bills. I actually kind of like the Buffalo Bills. I like the town. I like going there. I like Sean McDermott. I like Brandon Bean. I do not like their fans. And I think they are an overrated hype train, runaway hype train, because of some flashy, looks-good quarterback, and also because people feel bad about the Bills, and they think they're a good story. So they're looking for the next best thing. And they're also looking, they love somebody who unseats the evil empire. And so I think it's all an overrated hype train where for this season, almost everything has gone perfectly for the Buffalo Bills. And I think this is not representative of who they are or who Josh Allen is for the long term. I think this is the peak for them, so they better cash in this year.
Wow. So you hate the fans, but it's infiltrated your decision-making, your judgment.
No.
So you don't think they're a good team? You think they're just sort of a big overrated hype train?
No, I think they're a good team. I don't think they belong, A, in any Super Bowl discussion, B, in any MVP discussion. Nope. Right. I would
number
rather
two offense in the league.
Derrick Henry deserves the MVP more than Josh Allen does.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, this leads to number two. Go ahead.
Well, is that another one of your anonymous reports?
Nope. This is straight from the gut here. Big boy, give me your NFL quarterback rankings and stop when you get to Josh Allen.
Okay. How much time do you have?
Go.
Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, Watson, Breeze, Herbert, Burrow, Dak, Stafford, Garoppolo, Allen.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Please.
Seriously, Greg.
I got him fifth. Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Watson, Josh Allen. Right now, I think he's the fifth best quarterback in the league.
I hate to pull a Maz, but I assume you meant by just this year, 2020. I go Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen.
Thank you. That's exactly my list right now. I'm talking about just this year. Not who I want over the next five or who's had the best career. I'm not. This year. This year, Josh Allen has been the second best quarterback I've watched this year. I think Josh Allen's been better than Mahomes on a week to week basis. Now, I'm not going to put him ahead of him because I just can't bring myself to do that. And I think Rodgers has sort of emerged as, you know, he's just gotten red hot. But Josh Allen is about the most talented guy that I've watched in the league this year, Greg. Do you watch him? Do you watch the games? Or are you just in tweet beef with the Bills Mafia?
You didn't ask who's the most talented. You didn't ask for a list for that. You did not ask for a list of who has performed, what my quarterback rankings are for this season. You asked for my quarterback rankings.
I agree.
Those
bad
are
question.
My quarterback rankings. And I think that you, just like everybody else, has been suckered in by Josh Allen had a great first four games. He has had a great last three games. In between, he has been average, and he had some stinkers in there as well. You just weren't tuned in because the Patriots were still alive. You got suckered in by the beginning and the end. You missed the meat, and everything has gone perfect for them. There's no pressure. Stephon Diggs, Brian Daboll, all his receivers have been healthy. Dawson Knox has been healthy. They have a running game. They have an offensive line. You've just been suckered in by Josh Allen standing back there and no one around him when he is, yes, he is one of the best in the league when the pocket is clean, which is the majority of the time for him. When he's not, when he's pressured, when he's behind, he is middle of the road. And that is going to happen at some point in
time. Yeah, we missed the meat.
Yeah, Felga.
I'm telling you, I have... Look, it happens all the time. You get in tweet beefs, and it infiltrates your takes, and it clouds your judgment. And I think this is one of the worst.
I'm with Belichick on this.
Yeah, we only got nine questions to go.
Shut up, all of you. Good God. This is one of the worst examples I've ever seen, though, of someone taking the tweet beef to his judgment. Next, number eight.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see in the playoffs.
I don't know what they said.
Next question, Greg. If you're the Jets, what do you do at number two?
You started it.
If you're the Jets, what do you do at number two?
Fields. I'm going with a more mobile quarterback and sort of changing direction. I mean, look, it's all they're going to depend on who the coach is. But I just think for where they are and how far they have to go, they need somebody more in the Russell Wilson mode, mobile, strong, can run and throw. And Darnold, he needs to go to more of a pocket team.
Take Fields. You can never have too many quarterbacks. First of all, let the two of them fight it out. And then secondly, trade the other one.
Yeah, Fields. Darnold's broken.
Next.
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
Do you have any reservations about Lawrence at number one, Greg?
Nope, none.
I do. I have some, yes. I mean, I would still take him number one, but I don't think he's like a can't miss.
Yeah, I do. Back-to-back years, I'll play on the biggest stage by Burrow and Fields. A little jittery under pressure. What real competition is he seeing in the ACC? And anyone with that kind of hair, I have a bias against.
Number six, go. That would knock me in the gut. That is a big-ass number. Number six, what's the best NFL head coach and or GM opening in the league right now, and what's the worst opening?
Coach is Chargers. GM is Jaguars. The worst in general, the Texans.
I think Houston's the best job. I think that is absolutely the best job because you get the one known commodity at quarterback. So to me, that's the one that people should want. I think the worst one is Detroit or the Jets. Take your pick. Those are just franchises that are genetically inferior.
Yeah, best is
maybe Detroit. Detroit.
Best is the Chargers. Worst is Detroit. Semi-washed up quarterback. You got to make a decision on. They're seventh in the draft. You're not getting the next guy, and they're still the Detroit Lions.
Greg, I would say you think Houston's the worst because you got to answer to that goofy character coach.
Well, I just don't know the setup, and the owner is. Yeah, he just listens to too many people. It's just a bad setup. The cap is terrible. The draft is terrible. Like, it's, you have the quarterback, and I love Deshaun Watson, and I think he's spectacular. But, man, that's a tough rebuild.
Next.
Bobby Dalbec is a great prospect, not a good prospect. This guy has got Mike Schmidt power.
Okay, number five, tool bag slot. Who was the biggest tool bag of 2020?
Doug Peterson, just in general, not just for the last game, even though that's part of it, because I don't know how he comes back, him or Howie Roseman comes back and is able to do a job. I think they're both out, if not now, within a year, because you just that franchise is now broken because of what happened the other night. But even before that, what he constructed with Carson Wentz and he utterly failed him, and just his whole look and demeanor. He's been a doofus ever since Frank Reich left. It's been all bad.
He was on my list. I mean, he deserves serious consideration, but let's face it. When it comes to tool bags, what we have here really is the Tom Brady of tool bags, the GOAT. Matt Patricia is the all-time biggest tool bag ever.
You've both missed it. It's Bill. You just couldn't treat the quarterback like an equal, huh? How'd that work out for you?
Next.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Adam said.
Whoa. Okay, let's fill the coaching vacancy, shall we? Best match, okay? Quickly, Jets.
Daboll.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Chargers.
McDaniels.
McDaniels or Bieniemy?
Daboll.
Okay, Texans.
Bieniemy.
Saban.
Bieniemy.
Saban, Maz.
Yes, put him with Deshaun Watson. Like that I would love.
Okay, Jags.
Joe Brady.
Urban Meyer.
Greg Roman.
Okay, how do you feel about Urban Meyer to the Jags, Greg? Let me just stop there quickly.
No, he's unreliable. College coaches suck. No, I'm not going there.
Who did you say, Murray?
Greg Roman, dual threat quarterback guy, you know, worked with Kaepernick, got the most out of Lamar Jackson, you know, and there's some mobility to Trevor Lawrence. I think he could go there.
Okay, Atlanta.
Wink Martindale, the Ravens defensive coordinator.
I went with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator of Tennessee. I mean, that guy to me would work there.
Stick with the guy that was the interim, Raheem Morris. It seemed to kind of work.
Detroit.
Robert Saleh.
Who gives a rat's ass? Dead end job.
Yeah, Robert Saleh, but still, who cares?
Local okay, guy. The answer really is do Atlanta and Detroit on your own time. Yeah. Next.
You should talk to Adam about that then.
Okay, how about this one? What happened to my guy, the Don, in Denver there, Greg? What happened?
Couldn't buy another Peyton Manning to bail him out and make him look good.
I'll tell you what happened. Nothing. You overrated him from the beginning. That's what it was.
All right, terrible drafts, terrible coaching hires, and at least he's somewhat self-aware and knows to now step away.
Well, I don't know if his drafts have been so horrible. He of all things, he can't figure out quarterback. Like, you would figure the one thing that he could do would be that, and it's the last thing. He's built another decent defense, you know. Like, I don't know how horrible the drafting's been, but he can't figure out the one position that you would hire him to figure out. So there you go. Another Felger take bites the dust. Next.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Adam said.
Okay, give me a couple playoff predictions here, Greg, and you can take this wherever you want. Overrated team, underrated team, who's going to be a dark horse, who's going to go on a run that people aren't expecting? Who are your Super Bowl teams? Give it to me.
Overrated teams, Bills, Bucks. Underrated teams, Ravens and Rams. And I'm sticking with my preseason pick just because I'm a stubborn horse's ass. Ravens, Saints in the Super Bowl.
Overrated to me, Tampa Bay, Tennessee. Tennessee's defense blows. Dark horses, Seattle, their defense is playing a lot better. And Indianapolis, sneaky good, don't rule them out. And I would say Super Bowl, New Orleans, Buffalo.
I'll give you a take because you also asked for that in the email. It's criminal that Colts Bills is at 1 on Saturday. That should have been the primetime game Saturday night. Two of these games this weekend are going to be worthless. Bears, Saints, Browns, Steelers. Rams are a dark horse because their defense. Super Bowl is Bucks, Chiefs.
Okay. You, Maz and Bedard have Tampa Bay overrated. Why are they overrated, guys?
Because they only beat bad teams this year. They didn't beat anybody.
They haven't been tested. Yep.
Yeah, the only good win they have.
Brady hasn't faced any pressure. He's just like Josh Allen. When he's comfortable, it's fine. And the thing that worries me about the Washington game, even though I think they're going to win, you know, in the past, when he was with New England, going up against a Chase Young or a pass rush, they would eliminate Chase Young. He wouldn't even be a factor in the game. Is Bruce Arians going to do that? I doubt it. And if Chase Young pops Brady in the first two series, that's going to be a dogfight.
I think that game's going to be tight. Tampa Bay's defense has been vulnerable all year long. They haven't beaten anybody good. That's a fraud team.
Yeah, it'll be a tight game, and if they win Saturday, they're going to the Super Bowl. You watch.
Okay, final one, Jimmy.
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
Like I said, we'll have more on Peyton Pritchard here coming up, Celtics fans. But keep this one short because I want to expand on it a little bit. But now this is the big story in the NFL about how Doug Peterson handled that Sunday night game against the Washington football team. And Joe Judge has been very critical of that. Does Joe Judge have a case for bitching about the way the Eagles handled it, Greg?
Of course he does.
Yes. I mean,
it was ridiculous the way that they handled it. It's the NFL. You got to play every game.
No. Win more than six games, you stupid baby.
Yes. Yes, he has a case.
Okay, so I think we got some battle lines drawn. Bedard and Maz say that Joe Judge has a case. He's in the right. Murray says, no way. We've got expanded thoughts
Shocker.
On this. But first, let's do a quick update with Big Jim Murray, and then we're right back with this topic.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We had a lot of people opt in to this season. Okay? We had a lot of people opt in. All right? Coaches, players. That includes family members as well. All right? So to look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day-in, day-out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay, to tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving, please avoid Christmas gatherings, we know it's your wife's birthday, let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices that have been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Okay, there's that Joe Judge comment we were talking about. And the whole Doug Peterson story. Dan Shaughnessy says the Eagles should be docked a first-round pick for the way they handled that game the other night. Murray, what are your thoughts? You go first.
I mean, I love this. This is everything that I want because I love sports chaos for comedy's sake. And this, to me, is comedy. And I know I'm, oh, you're an overgrown child. Fine, yeah, I will gladly wear that label. Because the end of this game made so many of the right people so mad. These red-faced coach dads I've been getting chirped by on Twitter. Stuffy pant loads like Shaughnessy writing that column yesterday that I thought was parody initially, but it wasn't. Oh, the precious integrity. Oh, it's so good. And you're only mad because it was so blatant. That's it. He tanked the game. It's been going on forever. And what about playoff teams resting players? It's the same effing thing. Why aren't you whining about Mahomes not playing this weekend or Roethlisberger being sat out by the Steelers? Jalen Hurts isn't either of those two guys. So please get out of my face. And the Giants coach too. You're mad because you didn't squeak in. If you want to get in, be better than 6-10 and don't have a suck quarterback and select a running back second overall a few years ago, you idiots. And by the way, that a-hole too. Oh, he just can't help himself looking like the, yeah, that's not how we do it and the sacrifices we make. Adding like the COVID stuff to that, you know how many people would give their left nut to sacrifice just getting a swab up their nose every single day and sometimes getting a text at 6 a.m. saying, hey, no practice today, so you don't have to work. Like it's some big sacrifice. Oh, get out of my face with this. It made me so happy. Oh, it's you're mad because it was so blatant. That's it.
No, he's right, Murray. He's right. Joe Judge is right.
Oh, the integrity.
So now look, I mean, I don't like a lot of the macho bull crap that comes with Judge either. Like, I could do without the thing, I will never, while I'm coach of the New York Giants, allow that to happen. Never. Like, you know, I can do without that. But the idea of, and the COVID part of it is really secondary. It's sort of a, especially in a COVID year kind of comment. But the bottom line is this. It's a professional sports league. There's always something at stake for somebody, except in rare cases. And the Mahomes comparison, Murray, is not fair. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison. The Chiefs had something at stake going forward. The Chiefs are vying for a championship, so they're not going to risk injury to their quarterback. I get it. That I get. But other teams' playoff stakes are affected by how the Eagles handled the end of that game.
Well, take care of your own business. Don't go 6-10.
Yeah,
I have
but
no
what?
Sympathy for you.
But to me, it has nothing to do with the Giants, per se. It has everything to do with, you know, the Cowboys and everybody else in the division, everybody else in the league and the conference. Play it out.
Listen,
play
Jim,
it out.
I understand, Jim, I understand your point, and some of it is valid. You know, about the COVID stuff, I just don't think that you can, in anything, whether it's salaries, look, pro sports is just different. So any type to relate it to everyday life is just fruitless. And I don't understand people's incessant need to do that. We understand it's two different playing fields. Now, the difference here for me and where I think Joe is entitled to this opinion, and I agree with him, is that, and what makes it different than other circumstances, is the Eagles had nothing to play for. They were playing for next season. There is no reason to take Jalen Hurts out of that game for any reason. Like, he needs as many snaps as possible. And so for a team that was eliminated to all of a sudden start this guy and then put in Nate Sudfeld. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? It's not like there was some draft pick, some bum off the street. He's terrible. To replace Jalen Hurts, who you want more data on for next year, and who's probably going to have to compete with Carson Wentz in training camp, he needed to play that game. You had just heard Jason Kelce a few weeks earlier talk about how you can't do that, and Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman still did it. It's insulting to everyone associated with the game.
Murray, you want to respond?
Yeah, I get it. Like, I'm not, this goes like in one ear and out the other. Because it's the Giants, where they were, I have no sympathy for them. They don't deserve to be there. The bigger affront to the league is that any of these teams from the NFC East actually make the playoffs. None of them should put the Arizona Cardinals in.
Okay, but again, that's a separate argument. The fact is that there was a playoff stake on the line and the Eagles laid down. Like, that to me is unconscionable. I don't think you can do it that way. And I'll tell you what I find is a striking contrast to it. I couldn't help but think of week 17 in 2007 when the Giants had nothing to play for and tried to prevent the Patriots from going undefeated.
Yep.
Remember that? That was a meaningless game. Neither team really had to win that game. And yet it was a fight. That game was a fight. Because
and
Tom
it led to them winning the Super Bowl.
Right. And so, but Tom Coughlin believed in, no, we play it out. You got to play it out. That's how it works. And I don't think that you just can sit here and say, you know, we say all the time, I'm looking at it from our perspective, but I believe really more for the integrity of the playoffs and the league. Do you do it that way? But we sit here all the time and say, play it out. Play it out. And the Eagles laid down with a playoff stake on a playoff spot at stake for someone in the league. That to me is unconscionable.
So, Maz and...
Oh, I think we lost Mike.
I won.
So, Jimmy, let us know when he reconnects. But to me, that's really the biggest part of it. There was a playoff spot on the line.
Yeah, and there was for the Dolphins, too. And if Roethlisberger played for the Steelers likely win that game over the Browns, and the Dolphins get in. I don't hear Brian Flores crying.
But again, Murray, it's different because Pittsburgh's in already. So now
they earned the right. Pittsburgh earned the right to make their own decisions. The Eagles didn't earn jack squat.
I mean, to me, so I put those teams that got in that have a championship potentially at stake, I get it. If I were a fan of that team or if I'm the coach of that team, I say, I'm sorry. Which, again, makes the Coughlin decision in 2007, Greg, all the more stunning because his team did have something at stake. They were in already. In 07, the Giants were in. And Coughlin still looked at it and said, nope, we're playing our guys. we are looking to beat the Patriots because he understood there was something at stake there historically that was rare and it was important. And so Coughlin said, no, we're not going to lay down so that the Patriots can be the only 16-0 team in history. And you know what? I don't think Belichick wanted it that way either.
We have Mike back so I can get scolded by him.
You there, Mike?
No, I think he's still
there. No, okay. He's not. So he's out there. All right. So we're going to do this. We'll say goodbye to Bedard. When we come back, don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz get all their inside information.
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
All right, so I'm back, I think. Computer problems there on the Beasley end. I just want to point that out.
Oh.
Felger home internet system cranking at full levels. It's just the gerbils.
It's very Belichickian-y of you.
It is. Hey, what do you want? We sold out for the last couple segments, so what do you want for this one?
Is that about time you sprung for some real internet?
No, my internet, kosher. It's the gerbils back there at Beasley aren't running on their track. What I was going to say is that Maz and Murray are right. The football gods will pay back Doug Peterson and the Eagles, and it won't be kind. I do believe in that. I do believe if you don't try and win games, it comes back to you poorly. You know, and I'll just give you a couple examples off the top of my head. The Colts tanked for Andrew Luck. Turned out he was only a short-term guy. Wasn't the guy. Never made a Super Bowl. Never won a Super Bowl. Blew up in their face, frankly. Even when the Patriots did it. The Patriots tanked a game at the end of the 2005 season. Remember this? Where they were, I think it was a Nick Saban game. It was where Doug Flutie drop-kicked.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose, they get Jacksonville, I think, in the first round. If they won, they had gotten Pittsburgh. So they tanked the game. They had Matt Cassel attempt a two-point conversion. He threw it into the stands, threw it into the cheerleader formation to get Jacksonville, who they then blew out. But then they got blown out the next week in Denver, and they didn't win a Super Bowl for another 10 years. I don't know. Things just sort of work out that way. It's like I just – it's bad juju on the part of Philadelphia, and it's going to come back to bite them. Joe Judge, though, is the wrong guy to say it. You know, when you go 6-10, you keep your mouth shut. You have no right to say anything. And so he's just the wrong guy to say it. And the one thing that stood out to me about his diatribe there, about all the sacrifices that his players made, and he put on the list of sacrifices, you have to pass on your wife's birthday. Like, this is a sacrifice. You get to ignore the wife on the birthday.
I do that every year.
Oh, my God, that sounds like that's no sacrifice. That's like a win. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, no, this year you have to pass on your wife's birthday. Like, oh, my God, the sacrifice. Can you believe? Can you believe all the things the Giants have put them through, giving up on their wife's birthday this year? Holy crap. I mean, a Judge lays it on a little thick, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh, please. That's a part of it. Like, you know, and he's just the whole hardo routine with him just irritates the crap out of me. This goes back to day one. We're going to run downhill. We're going to play football. You'll never see that happen. I'm coach of the NYG New York Giants.
Yeah, but think of their fan base. Those must love him.
He's an angel.
He just goes a little bit too far with everything.
I mean, a lot too far.
You know, my wife's birthday is during training camp every year, and she gets screwed. Like,
oh, my God.
Let's not erect a fort for her.
I would give anything to be able to ignore birthdays every year. Like, just like that. That's not a pandemic. That's not a sacrifice. That's like... Oh, my God, what would it take for me to get to that place?
That's shut-in bliss is what that is for you.
Buy you anything for your stupid birthday? Like,
Mike,
oh, my God.
One thing on this, though, have you? I don't know if you've caught up, but, like, the fallout is continuing in Philly. Like, Miles Sanders went on WIP down there and said, man, if I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody. That's all I can say, really. I don't know who was the main person behind that decision. All I know is a lot of people on the team were confused. Like, somebody's going to have to pay a price here. Like, somebody's going to, whether it's Roseman, if somebody ordered the code red, somebody needs to step up, because I don't know whether Peterson survives this. I really don't.
So here's my concern. I think we all ultimately end up paying the price, because this just gives them ammo to start a draft lottery. And I don't want that.
Okay. So there's that. Greg, any final thoughts here before we let you go on the Patriots and how they're going to approach this thing? I guess the first thing is, are they going to lose Caserio and McDaniels? Because this is when it would be happening. It's been kind of quiet on McDaniels, right? Like,
yes.
This is a, you know, green light, doors ajar here, finally, for McDaniels. He doesn't have to deal with the playoff schedule and interviewing during the bye week and watching jobs getting chopped up before he has a chance to interview. Like, that's, you know, sort of worked against him in the past. Now it's, he's available, here we go, and I haven't heard his name once.
I would say it's concerning that, at least publicly, a report hasn't come out that he's on somebody's dance card. I mean, I think he will get interviews with the Chargers and Jaguars. I do think some of those teams are lining up guys who are in the postseason to sort of get it out of the way, virtual stuff. Maybe they're setting up like their more real deal interviews, getting some of their token / playoff guys through first. But yeah, if McDaniels does not get an interview with the Chargers and the Jaguars, that's trouble.
I think we might have lost Mike.
Did we lose Felger again? Oh, he dropped out again. All right, look,
I dropped out again.
Oh, there he is. You're back. Did you hear what he said? And we might have lost him again.
Yeah, finish the segment up. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. So he's cutting in and out. So, Greg, I do think that he's going to take a job this offseason. Just quickly before you go, do you get the sense that that's going to happen?
If the Chargers or Jaguars comes available, I think those would be too tough to pass up. But, you know, look, he's going to have a lot of questions to answer in terms of what happened in Indy. And I do think that's now affecting him after what went on with the Patriots and their offense this year. I think you combine those two factors and it's kind of cooled on him. And I think it's dumb because I think if anybody has the potential to be Belichick again in terms of being better the second time around, I would rather have a second time around guy. McDaniels is the guy. He is ready. He would be perfect for the Chargers. They need to come get him.
Okay. Now forgive me if I just ask you the same question again. I don't know that I did or I didn't, but with Mike cutting out, I lost you there for a second myself. In any case, Greg, as usual, we've enjoyed it this football season, so thank you for tolerating us every Tuesday. Thank you for coming in, and we appreciate especially the hemming and hawing. So, as always, listen, Happy New Year to you, and we'll catch you soon.
Sounds good. See you, bud.
Okay, later, so that's Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. No commercials here, top of the hour. Murray will get you caught up on all the latest in the NFL, and then when we come back... Yeah, Peyton Pritchard. We'll get to him next.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.